a movie.
What does the consulate have to do with American movies?
Well, they have power to censor the movie if it don't seem agreeable. But to me, if they are showing a picture in the 1880s or 1875, and if the person dressed like that, then I don't see why the people have to object to their attire, the pigtails and anything like that, because that's the original, the way they dress themselves. In fact, the Chinese, they pride themselves having that the pigtail. What do you call it? Huh?
Yeah, the queue. Was it a regular practice for American film companies to send their finished product to the Chinese consulate for viewing before?
No, I don't think they ever go to the consulate and say, "Hey, we have a Chinese film that we film and see if you're okay." And
so, where does the consulate come in to censor the films?
Well, I mean, that's up to them to go and seek it out. I mean, they're going to come to him. And if there's, like they say, if there's less trouble going to him, let's avoid going to him.
I see. And did the Chinese consulate make any protests at that time?
That I do not know. But I know a lot of, in 1920, they were making a lot of Chinese pictures in Chinatown. I know a lot of people object to the players wearing pigtail and Chinese costume, this and that. I know there were a lot of difference between the studios and the people there, because they're wearing pigtails.
Mm-hmm. What kind of roles did they have, though?
What's that?
What kind of roles did the Chinese have in those films? Or perhaps a better way of saying that is that how were the Chinese portrayed? How did they come across in American films?
Well, they
as
come
heroes
across
or villains?
Well, they're nothing but I would say character actor. Let's put it that extras, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
They use them. The American star would come down and they want the a scene where the Chinese people walking around with their costume and pigtail.
So they have no dialogue.
No dialogue at all, because there were hardly any stars. And I think the only stars that Oriental that I remember was Anna May Wong and Sesu Hayakawa. That's a Japanese actor. And later, Toshiya Mori.
Mm-hmm.
And other beside that, I don't think there were any, what you call a Chinese actor.
Mm-hmm. The Anna May Wong, what kind of roles does she play?
Well, she plays pretty good roles. She plays, she have, let's say, bit role, let's call, put it that way. Bit, that means that you have a speaking line.
Yeah.
A speaking part.
But it's a small part.
Well, a small part, yes.
I see. And what kind of part was it?
Sort of like being a maid of one of the rich people, and mostly a maid.
I see. Mm-hmm. What would be an ideal job for the Chinese at that time? In the 20s and 30s.
You mean in the 20s and 30s there?
Yeah. What did the Chinese consider to be an ideal job?
Ideal job for them was to be a waiter and a laundryman.
But they already were waiters and laundrymen.
I know, but in the 20s.
That was an ideal job?
Sure. They couldn't do anything else.
Didn't they have any aspirations to be something other than?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's where they are. They just say hand laundry and waiter.
Well,
what other jobs you have?
like Peter Suhu, he was in the Water and Power, white collar job. Didn't other Chinese hope to be in his position?
Oh yes, a lot of Chinese people wanted to get in that position, but you can't get in there. It just had that he had a little pull and got in there. And he was one of the few that have a college education there.
I see. He was educated here.
Mm-hmm.
Did he help any other Chinese get into Water and Power?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so, but he did a lot of good for the community. He'd take care of the young kids by forming a band and everything.
Mm-hmm. When did he... Oh, you don't remember when he started working for Water and Power?
No.
Was it the 30s or the 20s?
No, in the 20s, I think.
I see. Okay. Now, you say you were involved with produce business and the meat business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Before I ask that one, did most Chinese hope to expand into the quote-unquote white jobs, the jobs held by Americans that were close to the Chinese.
What year are you talking about now?
Back in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, early
well,
40s.
In the first place, there is not that much Chinese to talk about. I would say that's about 1,000 Chinese people in LA then. And most of them they have a high school education.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to a white place and apply for a job, you're Chinese and you lose half of the battle already.
Mm-hmm. But regardless of whether you are successful, did the Chinese hope one day to, for themselves or for their children to be
well, I don't
something
know.
Other than a waiter?
I don't know what the other people think about, but to me, I said I'm going to keep on working, and try to save some money and retire.
I see. Did you have any ideal job in mind for your children?
You mean for me to
for your children to have when they grow up?
Oh, yes.
Like what?
Like my boy, well, when he grew up, he worked for the Rockwell... company here out in Norwalk.
Is that what you wanted him to be?
Oh, well, I mean, I'm not the kind that said, you got to be this, you got to be a doctor, you got to be a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
I said, as long as you make a decent living, you go ahead and get it.
Okay. But would you be upset if he stayed in the manual field or became a blue-collar worker, say?
No, as long as he's happy with the job that he's with, I'm for it. I'm not going to tell him to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
After all, he's got to make his own living.
Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with the city market?
Yes.
Okay. How many Chinese produce stores were in the city market prior to World War II, 20s, 30s?
Before
late
World War
early II, 40s.
I would say they have about close to, in the city market, I would say about close to 30 stores that belong to Chinese
mm-hmm.
people.
30 stores that belong to Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And how many stores were there altogether, including those that were owned by others?
I would say approximately about 100, over 100 stores over there.
I see.
And that's the stores now, not counting the outside stalls.
Uh-huh.
Stalls is the one they bring the wagon in, you know. That's mostly Japanese people.
Could you describe a little bit what those stores are like and how they were different?
Well, I mean,
stalls?
They're just like any other store, but only they open up early in the morning, and a lot of these people that they call themselves second jobbers, they go out to the bigger store and pick out the best stuff and bring it back to their store and resell it for a little price higher.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they make their living. But if you have a ranch before and you have a little thing that you want to bring out to the market and sell, you can rent a little space out there and put your wagon in there and sell your merchandise
mm-hmm.
at the stall.
I see. And those stalls were owned by Japanese mostly?
They're owned by shareholder or stockholder, but the one that owns the most shares, Mr. Fleming.
Those stalls, or are you talking about
the whole Moss City Market?
The whole
is owned by
market.
Mr. Fleming.
I see. So the Chinese lease the space, right?
Yeah, they lease and rent the space.
I see. How many Chinese were engaged in the produce business, including laborers, jobbers, owners?
Well, I would say you have 30 stores, you got to have at least 2-3 laborers, and I was close to 100 people
mm-hmm.
that have jobs down there then.
Mm-hmm. What are the working hours in the produce market?
In the 30s,
mm-hmm.
You put in close to 16, 18 hours a day.
From when?
Well, it all depends what time the your employer wants you to start.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime you work for 3 hours, and then you rest for 2 hours, and then you come back and work again.
I see. But normally, what time does it start?
Well, in
10
the
o'clock
what,
in the evening?
In the 30s?
Uh-huh.
Well, most of them start about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, where they go around the market and check the produce, and then they buy it, and then the other people start coming in to repack the merchandise they have, or sort out the stuff that is a little rotten.
Mm-hmm.
So actually you put in 16, 18 hours a day in the early 30s.
So you start at 5 in the afternoon and you work until about 12 noon or 11 o'clock
mm-hmm.
in the morning.
There's no such thing as you sleep.
You don't sleep, huh?
No.
Don't people get tired?
Sure you get tired. But what are you going to do? That's a job.
Uh-huh. How did you get your first job?
You mean it doesn't come in a silver platter. You have to go and look for it.
Uh-huh.
Look for days.
You just asked around
mm-hmm.
the owners. Yeah, and why did you pick the produce business?
Because I couldn't get any job anyplace else.
And you didn't want to be a waiter or a laundryman?
No, I don't want to be a waiter, mm-hmm. and I don't want to be a laundryman,
mm-hmm.
and the city don't want the Chinese people to go in there.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to take what you get.
What did your work involve?
What's that?
What did your work involve?
My work involved?
Your first job.
Well, in the 30s, I was a swamper. I load up trucks. I unload trucks. I deliver merchandise.
Uh-huh.
In the 40s, I became a receiver. I receive all the merchandise, come in, and see that they're in order for the salesman to sell it. And in 1945, I became a salesman, and from then on, I've been selling.
What is a salesman?
A salesman is a merchandise come in, you have to figure what it costs you and how much to sell it for. And then, after you get that settled, you have to go out and get the customer to buy it. In other words, you have to be a good hustler.
But you work for a grocery store, right?
No, not a grocery store, no. It's a wholesale market.
Oh, wholesale market. Where was that?
9th and San Pedro.
I see. What's the difference between produce stores and wholesale market? Are they the same things?
Produce store and a wholesale market is a complete market, call it a wholesale market. And a store is a place where you rent it inside the wholesale market to sell your merchandise. You understand?
But there was, in the city market.
City market, that's a wholesale market.
That is one wholesale market.
That's one wholesale market. They have close to 100 to 200 stores in there.
Right. And you said
and then call it the produce stores.
And about 30 of them were Chinese?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And you worked for the city market?
No, I worked for individual employers.
Oh, you worked for several employers?
Yeah, but during that time I did work for several employers.
At one time? I mean, all together, or you worked for one? And
no, no. Well, one at a time.
One at a time.
Mm-hmm.
How old were you when you began?
Well, off and on, I started when I was 15 years old.
I see. How much did you earn?
When I was 15 years old?
Yeah, when you first started.
Well, I say $7.50 a week.
Mm-hmm. I see. And then,
You go up.
You go up to, how much did you, was that being the swamper at that time?
That was being everything, packing peaches, loading truck, and delivering.
Uh-huh. And then when you graduated from high school, you became full-time, right?
Yes, not quite full-time, because I have a delivery paper route, Chinese
uh-huh.
newspaper route.
Right.
And I've just worked in the market part-time then.
How many hours per week?
I would say about, by the week, I would say about 35 hours a week.
Okay, I see. And how much were you being paid then at 35 hours per week?
Well, they pay you as much you're worth, I guess, sometimes as high as $10.
Per week. I see. Was there any profit sharing or any medical coverage or any benefits like that?
No, they never heard of the thing until the 1955, around 1955.
Okay, so you said you joined the union in 1946, right?
Mm-hmm.
And prior to 1946, was there any, was that when the union started, or?
No, the union started in about 1938, I think.
I see. And did most Chinese produce workers join the union?
No, because most of the Chinese house are non-union. You know what I mean by non-union?
They don't hire union workers.
Well, I don't say that they won't hire union workers, but they won't join the union because they say union come in, you only work a certain hour, but this way he's working 15 hours and don't say nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And with a certain amount of money.
I see. After you joined the union, did you start getting those benefits, like I mentioned, medical, health?
No.
No?
What's
the result of joining the union, or what was the reason for you
joining the reason union? Joining the union is that they see that you get a decent wage.
I see. They do collective bargaining on
mm-hmm.
your behalf.
They do all the bargaining of the wages with the boss and see that you get a fair shake of it.
Mm-hmm.
But later, they... there is such thing as the eye care, medical care,
mm-hmm.
and benefit, and this and that, which I think was wonderful. You know, dental care and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That comes later in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, much later. Were all of the workers in the produce business Chinese, including those who worked for non-Chinese produce owners?
What do you mean by that?
In other words, the stores who were owned, which were owned by Americans or Japanese, did they also hire Chinese workers?
Oh, yes, they hired Chinese workers. I mean, what year are we talking about now?
The 1930s and
20s. No, 1930s, they hired Chinese labor.
How about 20s? Also?
Well, I don't remember, but that early, but I know that there is some Chinese
mm-hmm.
People that works over there, because I used to carry the bats for them when they play ball.
Oh, I see. The workers play ball?
Oh, yeah. On Sunday, they have a little baseball team. Mm-hmm. They call it L.A. Chinese.
Oh. I see. When was that?
That's in the 20s to the early 29, early to the late 20s.
Mm-hmm. Did most Chinese hire only Chinese, the Chinese store owners? No. They did not hire, say, for instance, Mexicans or something?
Well,
in the 20s, I mean the 30s.
Well, they prefer to hire the Chinese people because they speak their language, you know.
So, were most of the produce workers like yourself single or married?
That I don't know, but I presume if they're old enough, they get married, huh?
Mm-hmm. I see. Where did the workers live?
Well, they don't have no certain place, but they live at their own home, I guess, and then they walk to work or take a streetcar to work.
The owners did not provide living quarters for the workers. Mm-hmm. How much did a typical swamper earn?
What?
Swamper. You know, you were a swamper?
Mm-hmm. How much did you
make? How much did they make?
Well, what year are you talking about?
The 30s.
The 30s, I would say about $7.50 to $10 a week.
I see. Okay. And besides that baseball thing, did they participate in any, did the workers participate in any other social activities?
No, I doubt not that I know of.
I see. That baseball team you talked about, was it comprised solely of Chinese produce workers?
Chinese, yeah. They call it the LA Chinese.
But what kind of profession were they?
Well, they were in the produce, but some is not work, don't work. And
mm-hmm.
But they mostly from the produce place.
Yeah. How did you handle packing and delivering the produce, especially lettuce?
Well, packing, it's in a lug. And
a lug?
Lug box. They call it a lug box.
Uh-huh. What did it look
and
like?
And if we repack it, we buy it from the first job and we come back and make it look nice and repack it.
Uh-huh.
Into a different lug.
Smaller?
No, same container.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes you lose two or three pieces. That's why you have to charge a little more.
Oh,
you know, sometimes they get spoiled, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Weren't the store owners all supplied by farmers? Don't they go directly to farmers?
Well, the bigger houses, they get supplied by the farmers, see? But the smaller one, which most of these are Chinese, except maybe one or two, that get their own produce from their own farm.
Uh-huh. Oh, the Chinese actually had their own farm as well as their own store in the city market. I see. Were you able to live comfortably on your salary at that time?
Well, I mean, there's no complaint. I mean, in fact, you can live just comfortably then than you would do now.
I see. How much, for instance, would a lunch at a restaurant cost in the 30s?
In the 30s? In the early 30s, I think you have a lunch, it costs you about 35 to 50 cents.
I see.
In the late 30s, it costs you about maybe 75 to dollar quarter.
I see. And were most of the workers able to save any money?
I don't know. I couldn't.
You couldn't?
Mm-mm.
I thought you said you could.
I mean, you know, but what I mean was a huge amount, you know. A few dollars is not money.
Well, but then how do people prosper gradually? Do they, from your combined income, were you able to save?
What do you mean by combined?
You're delivering newspaper and...
Well, that would just keep us going, but then naturally, after you get through the week, you have a few dollars left over.
Uh-huh. And so did you save that? and accumulate no, much?
No, it'll go out somehow. We can't save no money then.
I see. So most workers weren't able to save money?
Well, I know I can't, but some of them could, maybe. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I see. The stores that, when you were a salesman, could you elaborate more on the, what would, I don't quite understand the function. You work for several stores and try to get the best produce for them? Or what?
No. When you're a salesman, you were supposed to say, I work for one store.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you're just a salesman and the boss will bring in the, like, corn, carrot, lettuce, mm-hmm. And some odds and ends, say, Kenny, that's your department. You take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you sell it. And if you happen to work for a good house that will say, okay, you do good for me, I give you 5 cents a package for what you sell.
Oh.
See, but as you graduate, getting to be a full-fledged salesman, you've got such thing as your own deal. You make your own deal on a farm, and you bring in a merchandise to the house that never had that merchandise before.
Uh-huh.
Then they would give you 3%.
Oh, I see. So you were a salesman for a while, right?
I was a salesman since 1945.
I see. You mentioned you also worked in the meat market, though.
Yeah, that was in the 30s. That was just in between.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In between jobs.
Have you ever stopped working?
Oh, 2 weeks.
That's all?
Mm-hmm. I was out of job for two weeks in 1937. I was out of job for 2 weeks.
What happened?
Well, the place I worked for went broke, so I couldn't just jump onto another place.
Nice.
So I was out of job for 2 weeks. And all this
was
time
it a Chinese
I've been
outfit?
That went broke?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Due to poor management or due to the financial?
No business, let's put it that way. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Did your wife work also?
Oh, that you're talking about my first wife?
Uh-huh.
I would say she worked from home. She was a seamstress.
Ah, okay. I see. Does she have to work? In other words, could she stop working and would you two still stay
afloat?
Well,
she stopped working when she was carrying my baby.
Oh, I see. Okay. So, were you two with your combined income were able to
live comfortably?
I see. Okay. You said you were a union member. Were you a member of any farmers association or anything like that? Well, you were not a farmer.
No.
So other than a union member, were you in any of the
no.
other associations? Did you hold any position in your union?
No.
I see. Did you vote in the union for the officers?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's compulsory that you have to vote.
Right. Were there any Chinese officers?
No Japanese officers. And
no Chinese officers?
No.
None ever ran or none were elected?
None ever ran. Didn't want to be bothered.
Interesting. They were paid positions, weren't they, the union officers?
Oh, yes, they were paid positions.
Mm-hmm. Would you say on the whole that the Chinese have done better or worse than the general population in the Los Angeles?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the Chinese, like they say, there's some good, some bad, and some rich, some poor.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, in the long run, I think the Chinese are doing pretty good for themselves.